podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the Anfield Rap Radio City Talk. John Gibbons, what are we going to do?
I don't know. This is 2 o'clock. There, thereabouts. So we're 6 hours. We're 4 hours, sorry. What time does this go out now?
This goes out at 6:30.
So four hours, yeah. So by now, I mean, we could have sold him and bought him back.
I think we built a new ground.
Yeah.
By half six.
I mean, it's mad. It's changing. It's changing every minute.
Yeah, it's all over the place. Coutinho, as of right now, Coutinho's last to transfer a quest in. How much money would it take for you to be James Pearce for the next 6 hours, John Gibbons?
I'd just go to the park. Go Delamere. Has he got dogs? I get dogs.
I take screenshots of your phone every few hours just to show that you had no signal.
Yeah.
Like, I had no signal. Yeah. Wasn't me.
I used to know an air hostess, and she wasn't
allowed. This sounds like the start of a great story.
She wasn't allowed to turn her phone off when she was on call. So she learned a little jiggery where if you put it in the biscuit tin, it always said it was engaged.
Oh, that's isn't it?
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
So if she'd like get like she'd be 3 days on, 3 days off, but apparently if they wonder, like, she had to, like, if there was an emergency, she had to do it.
I reckon you should text Chapel Street this now, you know. Yeah. Just text Liverpool, just put your phone in the biscuit tin. There's biscuit tins. They're currently running around the offices looking for biscuit tins. Pouring custard creams onto desks.
I think it's gotta be one of the metal ones, like, I don't think a wooden one works. Or plastic.
Yeah. I didn't receive your transfer request. My phone's in the biscuit tin.
you can't say it was in the biscuit tin because that gives the game away.
Yeah, I just couldn't get hold of him. Yeah. Couldn't get hold of him for
Number
ages.
Number busy, it comes up with Varden, this phone is off or whatever.
Ringing. Yeah. Can't get him. Yeah. So there was a transfer request, there wasn't a transfer request, and there very much was a transfer request. So it does look as though Philip Coutinho has decided that he wants to put a transfer request in. But before then, Ben Johnson, Liverpool, and specifically FSG, had given a statement out overnight, which came through this morning, which was that it was basically, he's not going anywhere, he'll still be a Liverpool player by the end of the window. So, what do you think? I mean, I wish I had a more scientific question for you.
I don't think anything's changed at all. I think it's basically just everybody, you pretty much get an idea that he wants to go. He's intimated as much. Liverpool have already said we're not selling him. We've just confirmed our position and he's confirmed his position. And I think it'd be quite the climb down for Liverpool now to say, actually, all right, we'll sell you. Because I think once that statement goes out, you start just looking a bit silly, a bit foolish. So I'd be surprised if he goes.
Surprised if he goes, Jay?
Yeah. I'm with John. What's changed? All right, he's made it formal. We knew he was interested. Everyone's been talking about it. We didn't think Liverpool would sell him for lots of reasons. They've said they're not going to. They've been quite strong in the statement. Never mind being James Pearce. I'd hate to be anyone at Liverpool on Twitter. Peter Moore and Tony Barrett might want to delete their Twitters if they decide to sell him now, because they were quite clear in that statement that it's definitive. They're not selling him. He's not going nowhere. They don't have to accept the transfer request. It is a bit of a farce on the player's side, really. He's not done himself any favours. I think that, you know, if Liverpool have said they're not going to sell them, and they've been quite clear in that, unless he's sure this is going to change their mind, he's not going to get a great reaction from people if he's if he looks like he's going to sign force it now. I think players like Suarez done worse and everyone come back round on him, but he's just not going to if it looks like he's going to start trying to force it now, that's not going to go down well amongst people, because Liverpool have been quite clear. It's like, you know what the situation is now, mate. They said they're not going to sell you. Get on with it, go and play some football for a bit.
I think the mad thing is him signing the contract on the terms that he signed his new contract on. He's only signed it, 6 months ago? 5-year deal with no release clause. So I think if he's got a cob on, he wants to have a cob on with himself. Do you know what I mean? Don't sign a contract then. Or don't sign a new contract or insist on the release clause. And he hasn't done that, so it's one of them, and it's tough.
Mm. Unlucky lad.
It is one of them. What are you going to do? You shouldn't have signed it. It's that simple.
Yeah, it's not a great situation. The night before, the first game of the season, and I don't know how much it matters to the other players who are playing, but I'm sure they're all talking about it on the bus or the train or however they're getting down there. Presumably they're all going today, aren't they? And this is all breaking on their phones as well, and they're all kind of talking about that, and it's not great. And obviously he's got mates in the squad. What are they thinking? Are people suddenly thinking, well, what about when I want to get away and maybe in the future and stuff like that? It's not ideal the night before, and I think the club have kind of invested so much into kind of the positivity around the club this summer, and everything's going the right direction, and we've got the best manager and blah blah blah. And I don't think it helps, when you you know, when that's kind of what you're trying to ride on a wave of positivity for your best player to say, well, nah, actually, I want to get off. So it's not great. And look, you might just go and look great tomorrow anyway and batter Watford, and we all hope you do. But I don't know. I don't think this helps on when it's come.
I wonder about the whole... One of the things that's come...
I'd rather be next week.
Well, I think I'd rather be next week.
Maybe once, twice.
But also, John, just on the sort of the other side, I'll come back to you with the manager. The manager was very unequivocal in his own press conference this morning. And he was quite... He was unequivocal in general about his view on transfers. He was very much not messing about.
Yeah.
It came across. And that's where, again, if you're the manager at this point, there's been lots of talk of the manager's had separate conversations with them. The manager's overseeing it. The manager's chatting away to him. The manager's got control of it. If that's all been the case and he's thought that's the case, then he's not going to be at all happy right now. Not, you know, with the player first and foremost, with the fact that he's lashed a fair bit of his own weight and capital on this. And then on top of that, you've got the statement from FSG through the club as well. There's a lot of people who've lashed a lot of weight and capital on this. And now, you know, Jono's right in that all it's done is confirm everyone's position publicly, but it still isn't great for any party.
I don't know about Jürgen. I sense he's not that bothered about it. You've got to remember, he was at Dortmund where he lost a lot of his best players, and you know, he was giving them big hugs and crying at the end and stuff. And I think he's fairly relaxed about you know, players. And he was saying, you know, he was asked a question about what can you do to make Coutinho happy. He was like, well, I can't. You know what I mean? I can't just tell him to be happier than he is. You know, that's not how it works. You know, if he's happy, he is. If he's not, he's not. And so I don't think he'd be particularly annoyed about with Coutinho. I think he might be annoyed with the time, and then he might be going down thinking, well, I could do without this now. But I think he's fairly relaxed about sort of who. Not who plays for him and who doesn't, because he only wants to sign about three players in the whole world. But I think in terms of, you know...
he's very clear on that,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I think he understands the game, and I don't think he stresses about the game too much. And I think he's a fairly kind of whatever will be manager, for better or worse.
I mean, firstly, the fact that he's, you know, all the stuff that clarified he sent it through email, Ben, is terrific, really. I wonder how he signed the email off.
I love it. You know, there's just so many like things going through my head. Has he got like an automatic signature that, you know, Phil Coutinho, Anfield number 10 kind of thing, or kind regards, or thanks, or, you know, many thanks, or yours sincerely?
I'm going to take care, man. Send me for an email like this.
Who does he email it to?
Who does he email? Who was the email address? Does he send it to the player's liaison officer, who then just like panics, throws the phone in the biscuit tin?
If I don't tell them this didn't happen.
Does he look on the general website? You know, contact us. And he's with like a load of spam about signing Van Dijk.
Become a member. I want to not be a member. Yeah. I want to not be a member.
What's
come on.
It's his reply. He's got a reply, and he's got dead excited, and it's just an auto reply. We thank you for your comments and questions.
Please do not reply to this email.
Yeah. How do I get this through? How do I get this through?
You'll receive a response in 48 to 72 hours. Thank you for your continued support.
Yeah.
You might be in charge of this call.
The old ticket office line when you ring.
Become part of the LFC family. No, the opposite. I want to do the opposite. You can't keep a player who doesn't want to be here. Jay McKenna, tell that to Luis Suarez, 2013.
Yeah, you absolutely can. You can do what you want, really. Virgil van Dijk. Liverpool fans are going to be losing their head now, saying, right, keep him. He's a disgrace. And like I'm saying in the same breath though, let's go and sign Virgil van Dijk. It's like, that's a bit hypocritical. All just calm down. All take a breath. He hasn't gone anywhere. If he's going to go, Liverpool are going to sell him. They're not going to listen to the idea that the fans are going to say, you know what, we'll be furious if you sell him. Because they know we're going to be furious if they sell him. That's not going to be really a contributing factor. Liverpool is going to say to him, right, we're not going to let you go because we can't sign no one. The reality of this now is that we know at some point he's going to leave. We've said this all summer. At some point, Barcelona are going to come calling, and at some point, it's going to make sense for him to want to go, and he's going to make sure that happens. And Liverpool will probably say, all right, we'll part on the best terms for each of us. You getting your move and us getting the most amount of money. Liverpool, this summer, when they can't even sign players they want with the money they've got, aren't going to then say, oh yeah, go ahead, lads. Put another £130 million in our bank. I'm sure it'll all be okay. There's no one out there to replace Coutinho right now. Liverpool might now spend the time thinking, how do we think of life without Coutinho? But they don't go and sell him, what, 3 weeks
it's
before the window shuts?
It's the sort of the PR around it as well. I don't see the reputation will be damaged. I think the FSG experiment's almost over if they sell him this summer, because I think they've invested so much. well, invested is the wrong word to use there. You know what I mean? They invested so much of themselves, if you like, in this idea of developing and this idea as of, you know, we'll sign players a certain age and we'll kind of develop them. And if the, I think this will be the kind of thing that kind of kills the dream, really. And I think if Coutinho does leave this summer, I think they've got to take a long, hard look at themselves, really, and say, can we achieve what we want to at Liverpool? Because, you know, this idea of developing players is great, but they don't all develop at the same rate. And some of them develop quicker than others. And if the ones who develop quicker than the other ones decide they want to leave, then it's really, really flawed as a policy. And maybe it always was, I don't know. But I think there is sort of, I think I don't see where they go, really, if they sell in the summer. And they'll know that as well. And so they'll be aware of that as well. What's our move if we sell Coutinho now and we have to go and look fans in the eye and say, well, they don't do a lot of that, but, you know, metaphorically look fans in the eye and say that we want, we believe we can bring success to this football club.
But I think the flaw in that policy is not necessarily selling Coutinho this summer. It's the lack of contingency plan. It's the lack of an alternative plan. What's the strategy? Okay, we know he's going to want to go. So 2 years ago, you should be saying, right, these are the players we're buying now to develop.
I still think that's Keita. I think that's Keita this summer for next summer. I think they thought it's next summer. I think the thing that's precipitated all of this is the Neymar thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's brought everything forward, maybe. But then if you don't sign Keita.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
Do you know what I mean? If you don't sign Keita this summer, and then you start next year as like your year X, where you're trying to, you should be doing this 2 years ago. And why aren't you signing Keita last year? Do you know what I mean? If you're so good that you want to buy all the best players, the best young players in the world.
Apparently they were kicking themselves on Keita last year. Apparently they had a good look at him, and you know he was moving to, you know he was coming from Austria, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He kind of weren't sure.
Red Bull to Red Bull,
which is it's its own. But I think the wider point is if you want to be this developing club and you've got this idea of being this developing club, buying all the best young players in the world, why aren't we buying all the best young players in the world?
Get ahead
of the
curve.
Do you know what I mean?
Get ahead of the curve.
That's the failure in the policy, if that's what the policy is. I don't think the failure is selling Coutinho for 130 million when you've bought him for 8. The failure is, why haven't you bought a load of other fellas who are going to develop at the same ratio? Because not everyone does develop at the same ratio.
And I think that's where they've got themselves into trouble, is that we could sell Coutinho this summer, who's just about to go into his peak or just entered his peak, and then say, well, we'll spend it on 3 lads who are 21 and it would all going to be brilliant. But if one of them gets brilliant first and then he goes, well, I'm going to go to Barcelona now, then
he's just repeating the cycle.
Yeah, you're just always in this cycle of nearly there and nearly there. And I think that's sort of the part, and that's why I feel like they have to be strong this summer, just because, you know, I think this season, and we the original plan was to start this whole show on optimism, and I think, yeah, you know, we were going in with this optimism into this season, kind of until you know, this morning I absolutely bounced into the office, and then like by lunchtime I'm looking for the whiskey. So
did you find it?
No.
Have we got the biscuits in?
Check the bottom of the biscuits in. It's under all the phones.
It's the Anfield Rap on Radio City Talk. After the break, I'm going to ask them what they think the subject header was for the email. And we're going to do our predictions as well. Don't go anywhere. The Anfield Rap on Radio City Talk. Neil Atkinson, John Gibbons, Ben Johnson, Jay McKenna. Jay, what was the subject header of the email?
Oh, I reckon he's been a bit snide. You know, he's replied to an old email.
I think he's replied to an
yeah,
old
email. Yeah, he's replied to an old email. Yeah, yeah.
Re-summer plans.
No, yeah, yeah, no. 17-18 kit available for collection. You know, they get all the gear, don't they? You know. First day back at pre-season, he's replied to that. Just following on from our earlier conversations, I'd like to make clear that I'd like to leave Liverpool Football Club.
Okay. Subject header, John Gibbons.
I think he's gone, who's playing for Liverpool next season? ? The first line, not me.
Excellent, John.
I had to vote, really. I just don't know if I think, like, Jay, he's gone off an old one, because that's the snidey way, and it's the easiest way. Sometimes you're looking, like, have you talked about the contacts before, you're looking for, who do you email, and you end up sending, like, a mad email about something, you know, about Christmas, when it should be about summer holidays or whatever.
Yeah.
He's done something similar to that, FL.
All right, then. If we can get clarification on that, lots of erstwhile journalists cover Liverpool as a patch.
Text in.
I would genuinely love to see the email. It'd be amazing.
The email must be just staggering.
Is it a one-liner?
If I was doing it, it'd be a one-liner.
Would he?
In fact, no, I wouldn't. I'd probably do a couple of nice lines. Hope you're well.
You know what he's
dear
done?
Dear Mike, hope you're well.
Is it?
How are the kids?
It's been a good summer, I feel. Last time I saw you, you were looking well. Anyway.
By the way.
He's forwarded
him on. The footy.
His agents forwarded him. His agents emailed him saying, like, just say something like this. And he's just thought, sod this. Forward. Nothing. Just says
with
forward.
The, who did that tweet where it started with say something like?
Say something nice. Yeah, he's done this. Phil, if you're going to say something, just put this into a letter. Don't give it into Jürgen. Don't get into a confrontation. Just say you made your mind up. And if you want a meeting, I'll come in with you. And what he's done is he's just thought.
Just forward.
I don't understand this. Just forward. Just forward. John Achterbeck. What he's done. You know
John,
what?
John Achterbeck should have had loads of balls checking his phone. Oh, no.
The mad bit is,
come to me.
It's John Achterbeck couldn't do it because he always wears goalie gloves. John Achterbeck's been pressing his phone.
Such sensitive Sean's equals.
Oh, he's, come on.
He's been touching his phone, and he won't work.
Yeah. Come on.
And then what he's done is he's looked at his phone and he's realised he's locked it out. He's got to wait for 10 minutes. And then he's got it and he's ran into Jürgen's office and Jürgen said, "All right, I'll deal with this.
Give me your phone, John." Absolutely not, Jürgen.
Watch it to his mum.
All right, then. We were going to do a general show around the new season. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we're talking to Sean Rogers about the way in which Liverpool should approach Watford. Wherein I do say Coutinho's not going to be available.
Well, that's right.
That, I mean, that's a positive, isn't it? I've already done that bit, by the way. I hate to give the game away and break the fourth wall, but, you know, we are where we are at this stage. So, should we have a chat about our expectations for the season, John? You were absolutely flying this morning. You were the best man in the world. Come on. You
find that crowd surfed in.
Find that man. Get that man back.
It's just, I don't know, it is. We're an emotional football club, aren't we? And this is what we've all bought into, whether we kind of like it or not. And I don't know. I mean, look, things could.
What should they be? What should the expectations be? That's what I was going to ask you. Not what yours are, but what actually should they be? What's a good season? What constitutes a good season? No matter what happens from this point, what constitutes a good season?
They should look to do something close to what Tottenham did last season, which is challenge for the title, go very far in one of the cups. I'm quite relaxed about Europe. I think you've just got to kind of see what happens in that and enjoy it, because I don't think they'll win it. I think you want to have a similar season to what Tottenham had last year, I would say.
Ben, what constitutes a good season?
Progress, probably, and that's a cop out, isn't it? But I think at some point we've got to be looking to win something. You know, we haven't won a lot for quite a long time, so you really want to be winning something relatively quickly. But I think you ask the management team, you ask Klopp, and he's like, "Oh, we win the league, and we want to win the league, and we want to win the European Cup, and we want to win the FA Cup, and we're probably not that bothered about the Mickey Mouse Cup now because it killed us last year, and we wouldn't mind going out of that early doors." I was thinking about this before the whole Coutinho thing, and whether now it's changed too much, whether I think, you know, the expectations should change, but I don't think they should. I think we need to qualify again. We need to consistently qualify for the Champions League. And I'm not saying qualification for the Champions League is a good season on itself, because it's not a target. You know, it shouldn't be a target. But in order to cement us as a top European club again, we need to be in the Champions League year on year on year on year. That it's that simple. I'd like us to win something. Ideally, the league. But, you know, if we want to win the European Cup, that'd be sad.
Ideally. As if I was like, just to throw away. You know, do you want to lash that in there?
Ideally, the league could be the name of the show in the end. Ideally, the league. Jay, what constitutes a good season?
Progression. Finish fourth. We've got to move up the league. We've got to look better as a start. We've got to see signs of consistency. Show that we can beat some of these lesser teams. Show we've learnt our lessons. You don't want to be turning it on against City and Chelsea and then, you know, turning up against Leicester and being absolutely awful. You want a trophy. I think you're not just the League Cup. You want to win a trophy. Liverpool should be challenging for honours.
Is that a reasonable expectation? There's only three sides that can win a domestic trophy. There's,
I think so, yeah.
Only three domestic trophies to be won.
Yeah.
What I mean is, so if we're all sitting there and we're marking it at the end, if Liverpool come second and don't win a trophy, are you going, well, that's a bad season?
No, but I'd like to see us challenge for one.
Exactly, challenge for honours. Yeah.
So, you know, but if you get to a final, I'm not sitting there thinking, oh, I'll take second here, lads. I'm all for the idea we're going to win it. And, you know, like, yes, and there's three domestic honours, but winning the European Cup, obviously, even if we dropped out of that, there's the Europa League. So you'd expect Liverpool to at least finish third in their group. So you've got a European campaign. I want to see us go on in them. I want to see us, you know, show signs of improvement. I want to see that we've learnt our lessons in, you know, if we play a severe again or something like that, that we, you know, we've learned how to play against teams like that, that Liverpool have shown improvements. I think it'll be a bit more subjective, but as Jono says, we've got to be in the top four. You know, that top six now is increasingly competitive. We don't want to keep losing out because that is going to impact on whether players come or go.
Yeah.
You know, we can't go for Keita or Van Dijk and say, oh, by the way, we're not in the Champions League. Because if you're Southampton, you say, well, why would you want to go there anyway? Because they're not even in the Champions League. They're not much in much a better place than us. If you're Keita, why are you going to go and leave a team who's doing really well at the top of their league to do the same thing? If you're Coutinho, you're not going to stay. You know, you've got no chance of convincing these players that Liverpool's the destination as opposed to a stepping stone.
I think that's key, and it's dead. I think what's really interesting.
So just to boil it down to a certain extent, a good season is consolidation and progress.
Yeah, and then see what happens. I think the interesting thing is you can sit here and you'll get people saying, "Well, we need to win the league, and we should win the league, or whatever it is, we should do well in the European Cup." But let's be honest, the level of competition is so high. You know, any of the top six teams could win the league, and I think. Any of the top, and most of the top, you know, you'd be surprised if anyone got below, any of that top six got below 72, 75 points. Do you know what I mean? You're going to be there or thereabouts. And so if you're getting that many points, you're just in with a shout of winning the league, regardless. You're going to be there or thereabouts. If you're doing well to...
If you can get 75 points, you can get 85 points. With a few last-minute winners and stuff
exactly.
like that. Yeah.
So if you're in a position in March, you know, if you're in a good position in March, you can win the league because you've got the opportunity to do so. And there's going to be loads of teams who can do that. United are going to be much better than they were last year. City are going to be much better than they were last year. Not so sure about Chelsea being any better. I think their squad looks very thin and something, I don't know, it seems a bit odd. But Arsenal will do what they always do. They'll get around about the same level of points because that's just what they do. So there's loads of competition and it's really hard to win stuff. What I'd like to see, I'm not that bothered about the Milk Cup or whatever it's called these days.
Carabach. I don't know. Come on, keep going.
Caramach.
Go on.
Didn't they play bloody
Everton?
No.
Keep going.
Sorry, yeah. Camp of Fairness.
That's Caribou.
Yeah, go ahead. Are they sponsoring the League Cup? Because if they are, then we should win it.
Yeah.
It's a good day out.
They're quite the scouse outfits when they don't even know it.
One of them bands who turn up to Liverpool are absolutely chocker.
Yeah. And everyone's gone.
Yeah, it's a weird selection of bands. Deacon Blue, Caribou. what's the other one? Pink Floyd, obviously. Yeah.
So aside from
Counting
that,
Crows.
I'd quite like to win... I quite like to win the FA Cup. We haven't won the FA Cup for years.
We quietly
go out early in the FA Cup. We choose the wrong cup. We tend to go far in the League Cup and then it kills you with the two-legged
January nightmare.
Let's jib that and let's just concentrate on doing something in the FA Cup. You'll get to the last four of the FA Cups. You're well better than all the other teams if you try, if you put your proper sides out.
Watch us get City third round now.
I know. But I think the interesting thing about this season is whether we're able to be more pragmatic, whether we're able to go away and win again when we're a little bit tired, we've got some niggles, we need to be able to grind results out. And I think part of reviewing the season as a success will be based on that, whether we're able to do that.
Pamela emailed dear Michael Edwards.
Michael Edwards, excellent.
That seems fair.
Yeah. Hiya, Mike.
Yeah.
Hi, Mike. How's it going?
That's going to
do. Never heard you speak.
That's going to... Yeah, well...
never heard you speak. You talk. So
maybe I'll, that's why he emailed him.
That's why he emailed him. Try to phone him. So answer me phone, lad.
Yeah. Just got a message back. all right, this is the Anfield Wrap. I'm ready to sit and talk after the break. I'm going to be speaking to Sean Rogers about Liverpool going to Watford. And then I'm going to be speaking to all of these gentlemen about Liverpool going to Watford as well. And possibly about grinding it out. You've had a lovely first half an hour there. I know I have seen a bit.
Joined now by Sean Rogers to talk about Liverpool's game at the weekend, first game of the season against Watford, how they should approach it, and how we can expect Watford to approach it. The first thing that strikes me, Sean, is we're coming up against a side here who we played back in May, who have the memory of getting beaten 1-0 by Liverpool in a pretty close, pretty unpleasant game where no one really got to express themselves. And against a manager who managed a side at home to a victory against Liverpool back in February. My point here is that Watford aren't coming in to lack confidence. Watford should be coming in thinking, we can get something from this here. We have to play a certain way, but we can get something.
Yeah, I think the timing of this game is really interesting. I think, I hope I'm not proven wrong on this, but I suspect it's heavily in favour of Liverpool, this. If this game's taking place late November, especially like midweek or, you know, a Sunday lunchtime kickoff. I think this falls into the category of game where Klopp is saying what we started to see towards the end of last year, where he's maybe going, we need to dog this.
Yep.
I don't think we can go there as a normal Liverpool. And I think towards the end of last year, after Mane's second injury, I think we saw a bit more of a pragmatic approach to West Brom away and to Watford away, where it's kind of get in and get out, really. Now, if this game was taking place there, I wouldn't... Like, in those games, you could make a case for Yichan, Wijnaldum, Henderson, kind of midfield. I think the fact that, touch wood, it'll be one of them typical weekend opening day fixtures where the sun's out. I think there's a case that you can go there and actually say, no, we are being Liverpool, so to speak, and we're going to play our way. I also think for Watford, there's no scoreboard pressure, there's no league table pressure on either club. Now, at the end of last season, they didn't really have anything to play for.
Mm.
And at the same time, we're under massive league table pressure and results pressure at the time. That's not the case now. And I think at all levels of the game, especially in the Premier League, no doubt about it, you will see teams in October, November, December, particularly in that bottom 13, who stop playing as expansively as those that are starting the season in that way. And the other problem you've got as well, it's like habits. You can work on whatever you want in training. But little things like a lot of these clubs will play teams in pre-season that let you play. And I know a few people who work at high level who at professional clubs who say to their lads in pre-season, our main focus is please play how we'll play in the league. Don't play some kind of almost continental game now, and then first game of the season, it's 60 minutes of kick and rush football. Try and maintain the way that these league games are going to play. And I've experienced that myself, where pre-season's been a little bit, you have the ball, we have the ball, play, and then all of a sudden, you're in a completely different... You could have an amazing pre-season, and then you have a poor start to the campaign. I think with Watford, you know, we've just been talking before, they've not had... Results-wise, performance-wise, and certainly looks like chance creation and goal-wise from all the reports I've been looking at. They've not had a good pre-season at all. And confidence-wise, it's a mad one. Liverpool's pre-season for me has been really, really good from all accounts on the training field, the performances, the results, everything else. If Watford had gone and played Barcelona and Roma and not performed well, not created, that's fine. But when you're playing Glasgow Rangers...
Aston Villa,
exactly. AFC Wimbledon or whatever it was earlier in the campaign. It does affect. Yeah, I've seen that happens at all levels of game. It just does affect them, and it'll be interesting to see how they come into it. I wouldn't be surprised if either they play a little bit more than you'd expect them to do so. And I wouldn't be totally surprised if they're not as fired up, not at us as much as what we all might be expecting.
The next thing about this is that it's on television. We played that early kickoff at Watford before, where we got beat 3-0. It's very much one where their crowd will be up for it. It'll be noisy. But if Liverpool manage to get their way through the first 10, 15 minutes in this and look the superior side, that's where I think, you know, the half-12 factor kicks in Liverpool's favour. Suddenly that crowd goes a bit dead. You know, they haven't had... It's not, for instance, the half-5, which Man City have got to go to do with Brighton, which will be a tougher crowd to quieten. They've just got promoted as well. You know, that can work in Liverpool's favour in this one. But you've got to get through that first 15.
100%, I think. I think Brighton and teams like that... They've got that enthusiasm and everything else where they're just going to be, they are going to be at you. You know, they've not had all of those disappointments to face and sort of chinks at the confidence and everything else. I think with this, someone asked me on Twitter the other day after the show we did in the week, Neil, that, you know, we were saying the Klopp's team plays on the edge, maybe even more so than his Dortmund team. But I was asked the question, why does that fit with his comments about concentration and managing the ball? And I think that's because they're so on the edge. So I think his main focus in the 15 minutes, that opening 15 against Watford, you're dead right. I think Klopp's going to be saying to Liverpool quite rightly, your job is to play our way and to dominate the ball in their half, or at least in the middle third. And then not to touch that ball, they're not going to have a single chance. The crowd go quiet and those players realise what they're up against. And certainly first game, there's always a question mark against every team, I think, about how match fit they are in that final 20 minutes. Pre-season's fine, but it's not as easy as you think to get players absolutely match ready With the travel, with just the fact that they are friendlies, the train and everything else. So that's where managers and the backroom staff really earn the call. If you can peak game, I mean, Mourinho used to be a master of it. I mean, his Chelsea teams would start like, not like 100 metres, it'd be like Usain Bolt, over 400 metres. It was a nightmare, wasn't it? The way he got his teams to start. And I think that's the risk for Liverpool, is that if I think Klopp will be saying, the danger here is if in that first 15 minutes, you know, we split the centre-halves, the full-backs are high, and you do lose the ball and we invite anything. They could go 1-0 up, but more importantly, they've got that carrot there. They get enthused by that. The crowd are up.
Well, the marker for that one is, you know, the Burnley game last season. That was Liverpool's second game of the season. They'd had the Arsenal win where they played some fantastic stuff, but then there was the Burnley game, and Liverpool had put themselves in a position that proved completely unrecoverable after 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And you know, if he's got the memory of that he can point to them and say, this is what we did wrong last season, lads. You can't give these sides that encouragement.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we were just talking before about the signing of Gray, because, you know, look, it's no big deal. He's not a world beater, but I'm not pleased with that news. He's exactly the kind of player in a fixture like this, signing early, that could well cause us a problem. But on saying that, we're more worried about what we do. And I do think that, as I say, if this game was later in the campaign, I think we would have to approach this in a different way. I would like to see us just go there and be us and be confident. And I also think lads aren't stupid. The players in that squad are looking at Mane and Salah, and they know that when we had Mane last year, we were very, very difficult to beat, and at times we could really turn it on. And you've now got Salah, who's had a really good start. He's flying. Everyone seems to be saying that he's been really impressive in training as well. You're looking around that dressing room, you don't want to go there and dog it, do you? Like, as a playing squad, you're like, why should we come here and dog it? We're Liverpool, we're flying.
Yeah.
Opening day of the season. So I think we have to go there and just be us. My only fear is that in that first 10, 15 minutes, we do move the ball quick, well, careful, and just don't have any counter-attacks. I think we could kill their heart a little bit in that first 15 minutes.
The other side of this, though, is what Liverpool will do. There's no Coutinho, from the sound of things. The back strain's likely to keep him out. The front three, you would presume, would be Firmino, Mane and Salah. The back four, you'd presume. Stop me if you think I'm wrong. Well, we'll actually come on to the back four in a minute. Goalkeeper, presumably Mignolet. Lovren and Matip at centre-back. What do you think he'll do with the full-backs? He's been playing Moreno recently. He's been... Alternatively, would he maybe consider Milner in midfield for this one? What does he do at right back? Does he go with Gomez because of their size and strength, or does he go with Trent? It's not quite clear to me exactly what he goes with. I'd like to see him go with Trent, to be honest with you, off what you've just said. I'd rather say, you know what, this is the football we're going to play, this is what we're about.
I don't know enough about Hoffenheim to think whether in his mind he thinks there's maybe some interchangeables. If it was me, the obvious thing I would play Moreno, you know, because I'd want Milner at left back for the European tie, and I would rest Milner to all intents and purposes, because I just think the way the games would suit them better. Robertson, I'd just wrap him up in cotton wool and let him ease in for me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't use him for now. I think in terms of the front three, I don't think he's got much of a choice. They need to play in all three games this week. So I think that's a given. It'll be interesting what he thinks in midfield, and again, with Hoffenheim in mind, you know, is it the worst situation if Hoffenheim's Henderson, Chan, Wijnaldum? No. On the flip side of that, though, do you want all three? With the amount of running, hypothetically, he expects them to do. If we dominate the ball, it's not so much of a problem. But those three, and particularly the two in front, the one, if that's a system we play, there's a huge amount of energy needed there in the way that he wants to play. It'd be interesting who that player would be that fits in. Does he go, do you know what, Grujic, I've got the height, I've got the strength, and I'm playing two, you know, I could play Wijnaldum and Henderson as an example, and Grujic then is a bit more of a luxury. I can trust the other two to manage this, and I can just keep one back for midweek, and I've got my bench strong. It's mad. A few weeks ago, I was looking at our bench going, this is really tasty, but with Coutinho and Lallana, the midfield, I think we can change things up top with the options we've got. But we're kind of looking at Woodburn. If we want a creative player, that's it. So I don't know whether you might want to pick two of the three. I mean, what would you do? Would you put any focus on Hoffenheim? Would you go, no, we just play strong at the weekend, win the game?
I think you solve it at Crystal Palace. I think you go with, I'd be tempted to say it's Henderson, Wijnaldum and Chan, and we'll try and manage maybe Chan a little bit off the bench because he hasn't had the same pre-season, and that offers you the strength. And then you go something pretty similar against Hoffenheim. And then it becomes against Palace, where you maybe think, is this an opportunity for Ben Woodburn? It could be that Coutinho's back fit in the fold by the time of the Palace game, whatever that situation is. And also, the other thing I'd be looking to manage from the bench between now and Palace is, well, we've got Sturridge and we've got Solanke, and they're both sitting there next to one another on the bench, and we've got Origi. And I don't think it necessarily has to be the case that Mane, Salah, especially Mane, I don't think I'm looking at 290 minutes for Mane in the next two games, and maybe even not. Maybe you don't start him against Palace if that Hoffenheim tie is feeling a little bit edgy. Maybe that's the one where you're compromising, you're and ah.
Do you think he's going to, not just with one eye on Watford, I suppose, do you think he's going to, in this little run of fixtures that we've got, particularly in August, do you think we're going to see like the same formation and similar team?
Yeah, I think in August we do. There may be one unexpected one in there, and again, it could be Palace. It could be that he just decides he's going to go with the front two in Palace, against Palace at home, and he goes with something a bit more like a diamond. But I expect that we're going to see. I think that he's just going to see what he can get. Because, you know, for instance, 5-7, I think, makes a massive difference. So imagine you get them through the second Hoffenheim game, but it's at home, it's at Anfield. You hopefully have got a positive result. Mm. And then you're looking at them and it's Arsenal and it's 4:30 and it's Sunday. And then they're all going away on international duty. And it's one of them where he's looking at them going, one more big push for me, lads.
Yeah, yeah.
One more big push. I think if it was 7, because the next block's a block of 7.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think 7 means that games 4 and 5 become very different propositions. Yeah. But I think when it's 7, it's a little more straightforward. Yeah, 5,
sorry. And even if they're not actual injuries, from what I hear, you always have problems when they come back off international duty, mainly because, without getting all sports science-y about it, even stupid things like your warm-up, your preparation, all that kind of thing, it's impossible to replicate what every club does. So they have to do what the national team want to do. So for whatever number of days, your body's just doing completely different things for that period. And you get a few people coming back just with a few aches and pains and all that kind of, that first game back's an absolute killer. You really need to be playing someone who's got as many away on international duty as you.
Well, that's why, for me, almost the most interesting game tactically, and we're jumping way ahead now, over the next couple of months, is actually that Man City for first game back after the next international break, because they'll be in a similar boat to us. Yeah. But they've got their own way of playing and what they want to do. And I think that's the point where, if Liverpool have got a deeper squad, and we hope that they have, you know, but also full of quality, that's where the manager is getting them back in, is counting the fingers and toes, for want of a better phrase, and working out what it is that he's going to do at pretty short notice.
Yeah,
both managers are in the same boat.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? Because Rafa would go, any players I've been working with during that period of time, I'd quite like to throw them in. Whereas I think those kind of managers are more of the, I need a big push, I know you've just come back, I can sort things out after the game, but for today.
But then both of those managers are then looking at the Champions League group game. If Liverpool have qualified for the Champions League, and that's days later, listen, all this is going to go right the way through the season. How Klopp manages his squad is something we'll be talking a lot to Sean about on the Tuesday review. That is coming next week. But for now, this is Radio City Talk. Neil Atkinson, thanks to Sean, and let's get back and see what everybody else makes of it.
Back in the madhouse, always good to speak to Sean there, voice of quiet reflection and calm. In front of me, John Gibbons, Ben Johnson, Jay McKenna, not calm reflection and calm. Ben Johnson, Sean says loads of sensible things there about the way the football match could go. I say some sensible things as well, I hope. And then I've just seen who the referee is.
Yeah, we measure Jibby.
It's the man himself.
We measure Jibby, let's just call it off. We'll start again next season.
Yeah, top Baldy in the country, Ann Taylor.
Have a gap year. We're not
is it
playing
Taylor,
this year.
Yeah? It's big Ann Taylor.
Ann Taylor.
Big Ann Taylor. Is stepping up to referee this game tomorrow. He is most definitely, you know, a man of sense and discernment. Ann Taylor gets very, very little wrong, etc., etc. Take any amount of irony you want from this. As I said before, you know what I mean. You can define referees in the same way that you can in people in Game of Thrones. There's basically two categories of referees: baldies and wolves. Wolves are well better than baldies, and Ann Taylor is the number one baldy in the country.
King of the baldies.
Yep, he is the king of the bald wolves.
He's given the baldies a bad name.
Well, I was going to say, it must be terrible for you.
It is. Everywhere you go, you can see people looking at you like you're a horrible ref.
You bad ref.
Bad ref. Yeah. Stop wrecking it for everyone.
He is. Ben Johnson, undermined by Ann Taylor. Every opportunity, but apart from Ann Taylor, John Gibbons. Marco Silva's very good at what he does, all of that sort of stuff. They've got Andre Gray to run off the back. They're going to be looking to do a bit of that. But it's a game where Liverpool, you know, it's a game that, you know, across the course of a season, it's one you'd expect Liverpool to get 3 points from. A draw wouldn't be an absolute disaster. It wouldn't be that bad a result. But you want to be going there tomorrow to see Liverpool grind out what could be a pretty unpleasant victory.
Well, yeah, it could, yeah. Have you trying to get me up? even your wins sound awful. yeah, look, I mean, again, for Jurgen Klopp's press conference today, he was saying how he's watched Watford in pre-season and how impressed he was how quickly the new managers obviously managed to Marco Silva the team and make them very similar to what we saw from Hull last year, but with better players. And I think it is going to be tougher. I think, you know, look, they'll want a great start to the season. We can talk all we want about, you know, a flyer, but they'll be looking at this Liverpool game to, you know, if we can win that, then you know, optimism for us as well. So you're not the only team who kind of want to get off to great starts. But you mean, you say about a point, but I think the football club could really do with a win tomorrow. And I think as well, when you've kind of looked at seasons that have gone well, we've generally got off to a good start and won our opening game, and when we haven't, they've generally kind of, you know, gone on a similar line. So I'm just really hoping we do the business tomorrow, and it's a pleasant win.
A pleasant win. Yeah. We take any win. Do you want a pleasant win? You'll take any win.
I'll take any win any day. Yeah, I'm not bothered while we win. That's as long as we win. It'll be a tough game.
Literally, you're like Rock.
Yeah, I'd stand all over anyone to win a game of footy.
I've seen you play five-a-side recently where you wanted to give up, don't forget.
That was an aberration.
It was an administration issue.
It was. It's a tough game. It's a tough game. He's really good at what he does. He strangles space. He's good at setting sides up to frustrate. But then we're a really good side. We're a really good side, and we've got two very, very fast people who can take people on. And I don't care how good you are at setting up teams to defend. This Liverpool team going there tomorrow is a completely different outfit than the one that went to Hull and got beat. Yep. So I'm confident we'll go there and beat them. I'm confident we'll go there and beat them well. And I also reflecting on maybe not Coutinho because it might change the lineup, but I think the midfield sort of picks itself. Is it Henderson, Wijnaldum and Chan?
It looks like it might be that.
It might help us, you know, we're a little bit more robust if they try and break. And it might help us. And it's Firmino, Mane and
Salah.
And I think that balance that's almost been forced on you by Lallana not playing and Coutinho not playing almost helps you cope with what they're going to be good at.
Jay, it's a challenge. It's a tough place to go. It's always been a tough place to go, but it's one which we should, you know, we need to be getting all 3 points from. I think that's the thing. I think, you know, and as John said before, the football club, given the context of everything now, could very much do with 3 points, could do with a win.
We need that space. We need that breathing space from win. But more importantly, when we talked about what we'd expect from the season, we expect Liverpool to beat these kind of teams. You come into a season expecting Liverpool to beat everybody outside the top six, home or away, and then worry about the top six and where you get to. We can't be doing the same thing where we go to Watford and we freeze or we don't look very good. We've got to win. And I think, I'm with Jono on this, I think we're going to win well. I think the team will be up for it. I think there's exciting options there for us. I think you've got players who are back playing well, particularly in Mane and Henderson. Chan's maybe got a bit of a point to prove regarding his contract situation. Wijnaldum will just pick up where he left off. Firmino, you're going to get the, you know, even his standard performance is pretty good. You know, I think Watford will be concerned by us, but as has been said, even if they set up to try and frustrate us and how we play, they're not going to expect how we play because you've got Salah or Mane and you don't know what they're going to do. You don't know whether we're just going to try and get wide to them all the time because you can get Wijnaldum or Chan on the ball or Henderson and drive forward from the midfield. They're going to have to consider, you know, their fullback's going to be thinking to himself, right, can I get forward? Because if I don't, is a ball going to come over the top of one of these fast lads? So they're going to have to, that's going to massively impact how they play. And I think that for us is a good opportunity that we should, you know, we should get at them, make them guess, keep them, you know, change it around. I don't think we're going to go into any game this season with a particular way of playing. I don't think we're going to say, like, we're going to frustrate you, you know, the City, we're going to try and sit back. I think we're going to say, like, we're just going to see how the options play each time we get the ball and see what it looks like.
On that midfield three point of yours, going back to what Jay says there, what that midfield three does actually do, Ben, is it gives you the option to say to Mane, to say to Salah, to say to Firmino, cheat. cheat a bit because we've got a solid three here. You just cheat, and suddenly there's fullbacks and centre backs screaming at the lads in front of him, going, "You just come back here. Your centre half saying to your fullback, "You're not going anywhere." Your fullback saying to the lad in front of him, "I'm not quite sure if you want to push out." They're all talking to the holding midfielder, saying, "One of you needs to scream. We've got to keep this five against these three," and that can also create more space for Liverpool to play in.
But I think it also allows you to get your fullbacks higher. I think that's the other point, is that our fullbacks are going to be like wingers, and them three are going to be a three forwards, and your midfield, I think them two centre mids, Wijnaldum and Cham, won't be as advanced as what Coutinho and Lallana would be. Natalie won't be. So I think it changes the game, it changes the outlook of the game, it changes it completely. But I wouldn't want to play that. I wouldn't want to be playing for them, watching them fellas move about, watching the overlap of the fullbacks coming all day. You're having to keep an eye on him. Watch this fella come inside. Watch Firmino drift away. You know, I think we're going to have most of the ball, and I wouldn't want to play for them at all. And I think if they win, if they end up finding a way to win, it's because we either get diddled by a referee or they score off a set piece, and we have hard lines, which, you know, isn't hard the question because we had it loads last year.
When we talked about expectations before, John, there's something that Ben's just said there that really sort of resonates with me. Is one of my expectations for the season, one of the things I hope I see, is the idea of I wouldn't want to play for them. That, you know, that this, and something the manager's talked about since he's come in, and you saw it at times last season, but it's something that, you know, you really, that's whoever's been Liverpool manager, when I've thought to myself, whether it's, you know, going back Houllier, Evans, Benitez, Rodgers, that moment of, you know, the great Gerrard quote of, you want to go play 2-on-2 against these two, all the best. It's that, I love that sort of idea of I wouldn't want to play for them.
I've never known in all my time watching football a season where so many players have said how hard it is to play against Liverpool as we got last year. That's never happened before. Players almost never say that. They almost never come out and go, you know, they blame refs, or they say, you know, we didn't play well enough, we weren't good enough. For last season, two or three times at least, you know, you had opposition players come off and go, we just couldn't live with them, they're just far too good. And, you know, in terms of, you know, hardest game of the season talk and things like that. And that hardly ever happens. And then obviously it stopped it, you know, when it stopped, but you know, if you keep that going for longer and keep that going throughout the season, and to have more players who were able to kind of play at that level, then you're right, then who would want to play against Liverpool so we need to remember that. We need to remember, and I'm speaking to myself mostly here. a lot of those players are still here playing for Liverpool, and
the other point on top of that is a lot of the Watford players are still playing who played last year and got battered
6-1
at home. And then try to play us a different way when they were at home and we were solid and robust and won 1-0. So if you're in their heads, that you would naturally be thinking, oh, I played against these last year and it was horrible. He didn't get a minute in the first game. He couldn't breathe. And so if we come out and start against tomorrow. And the other thing I think that goes in our favour is the kickoff time. I think that kickoff time always favours the away team, because anyone in the crowd is enough for it, because you just got out of bed. All your way ends up being, you're going tonight, aren't you, John? They'll all be bladdered. So they're all singing. The own fans aren't.
I know,
they haven't had a chance to have a bevy.
Yeah.
So it makes them.
I'm not into bed, so it's fine.
So you'll be fine. Because you're singing anyway.
Gibbo will take you to R5 night game.
But you know what I mean? But that's the difference. If it was R5 tomorrow night, I'd think, hang on, this is a different kettle of fish. This is going to be bouncing.
But why the first 15's massive, though, Ben?
First 15's massive. But I think it'll settle into the normal way that this game you would expect to happen. They're going to drop in because that's what they're going to do, because that's the way the manager's going to set up, and we're going to have the ball, and it's about 10 points by the way we're on it, and I'd like to think we will be.
All right, I will get your predictions for the game now. Jay first.
3-1 Liverpool.
3-1 Liverpool. John.
3-0 Liverpool.
3-0 Liverpool. Hey, what? You've got a massive 24 hours ahead of you. You get by this time tomorrow, you're absolutely, when we're recording this, you're absolutely, you know one way or the other. What a 24 hours you've got. You've got to go and do a show with us in a bit. It's going to be a laugh. You're getting on a train. That's going to be a laugh. You're having small wines. That's going to be a laugh. Or maybe cans of gin and tonic. Wines.
Oh, no, I don't think Ronan allows it.
No, he doesn't. No, big wines or none. Ben, what's your prediction?
2-0.
2-0 Liverpool. We got the clean sweep.
But yeah, you took me and Gibbo up.
Look, get everyone thinks that they're getting themselves a result. It's been the Anfield app this week. It's been emotional. It's been fraught. It's been panicked. I only up 17 things haven't happened by the time it goes out. If not, I'll be back in doing it live on my own. One man's 45-minute rant about X, Y, or Z. We could all do without that because we've all very much enjoyed this. Sports Social Podcast Network.